Prepare to get into the Word of God today. God has some good things in store for us as we seek His face and know that, He wants us to follow in His perfect will. As I mentioned last week, we're going to be talking about water baptism today. We're going to be doing a water baptism coming up here in the future. And we're going to try to unravel some of the mystery that kind of surrounds water baptism, because it's one of those things that, as a believer, it's hard to put our head around sometimes. I believe water baptism can both be a connect point and a release point, in the sense how we connect with God and then we're ready to release our past, some of the things that's been holding us back. It's a place of identification, and it's a place that you and I can release our faith. And so I believe that also water baptism can close the back door of our life to the devil, how he tries to come in. So let's explore this together. We're going to look at a couple scriptures today. The first one we're going to look at is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And is right after the birth of the early church. And there was a lot of things happening. People were getting saved. And God was moving. And Peter said to them, "Repent." We could have church right there, amen, but nobody would want to come. Right? These days. But we're going to go there, right? It says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the anointing here today to be able to break every yoke of bondage that's on our lives. We thank you for just stirring up the gift inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And again, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, by Satan from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So water baptism, what it's all about. Some are big into it. Some aren't as into it as maybe we should be. And we're going to explore that a little bit. And speaking of the water, remind me of a story I just heard a couple days ago about two young boys. They were walking along the road and they came across the lake, and their names was Truth and Lie. And Lie said to Truth, he said, "Well, let's hop in the water and see who can hold their breath the longest." So they took off their clothes and left them on the bank, and they hopped in the water. Truth had a desire to beat Lie. Truth, breathed in and out several times and then took a deep breath and put his face under the water, and he just stayed down there as long as he could. And finally, after he couldn't take it anymore, he came up and Lie was nowhere to be found. As a matter of fact, he looked on the bank and the clothes were gone. He was irritated. So he stomped off and marched back to town and naked as a jaybird. And went up and knocked on Truth's door. Knocked on Lie's door, and Lie answered the door. And there he is wearing Truth's clothes. And Truth says, "Why did you do that? Why did you take my clothes? Why are you covered up with my clothes?" And they got in an argument. They started getting a fight. And the brawl kind of led, and they went out in the yard, and all the neighbors started to come, and Truth was accusing Lie of this, and Lie was accusing Truth of this, and the people in the yard, they just didn't know what to do. Do they believe a covered lie, or do they believe the naked truth? A couple of you got it. Which one do we believe? See, the worst thing that you and I can go after sometimes is a lie that's been covered in truth, because it envelops and it makes it look like it's true. And we're going to try to cipher through this, because some people get in a big, argument about water baptism. When Scripture kind of explains it and tells us exactly what it's about. Now, water baptism has always been a practice in the church. Ever since the start of the church, at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the disciples spoke in tongues, and then they went out, and all of a sudden Peter, who had denied the Lord, all of a sudden he come up with some big boldness from somewhere, and we know it came from God, started preaching the gospel, thousands were getting saved, and then they were being baptized. Water baptism. Now the word baptize in the Greek, there's several variations of it, but one of them is the Greek word baptizo. And that word in the Greek means to dip or to submerge. It's like you take a ladle and you dip it in the water to get a drink of water. Now, baptism should only be reserved for people who have repented of their sins and have chosen to follow Christ. So it's not something we just do steeped in tradition, but it's more of a relational thing, something we do out of a life-giving and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be honest, baptism shouldn't be automatic. In a sense, just because, you know, we have a lot of kids in the church, just because they're in this church doesn't mean at a certain time it's part of the process that now they can be water baptized. No. You know, the Bible says at first we need to repent and we need to accept our Jesus Christ as our Lord. And so that's why we need to make sure that it's not just something that we do out of tradition, because we lose the power of baptism. I really believe deep down in my heart, there's something spiritual that happens when we're water baptized the proper way. And I believe that we need to tap into that. You know, we all know it's an outward sign of an inward work. You know, we're actually going through exactly, you know, what it is that happened when Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. He died and rose again. And then we kind of go through that as a picture of it. Now, our church is correct. No, just kidding. We're as correct as we try to be. Amen. But we don't baptize babies. We dedicate babies. We go from the scripture of Matthew 19:13, where it says that children were brought to Jesus and laid his hands on them, and he prayed for them. So really what we do, we bless babies and we dedicate them to the Lord. You know, also in the scripture we see that when, you know, Jesus was born, his mother and father took him to the temple and they dedicated him to the Lord. So we dedicate, you know, babies to the Lord, and that's something that maybe, you know, other churches do a little bit, but technically infant baptism was never started till around the 400s. And the church devised this plan for maybe several reasons. I'm just going to throw a couple ideas out. And, you know, we know that baptism, when you're baptized, it's a picture of being baptized into the body of Christ. And perhaps what the early church in the 400s, you know, they just thought it was deemed it necessary that when babies were born, they should be baptized into the church. A couple reasons. Number one, the mortality rate was very high back then. They didn't have the medical services that we have today. You know, infant mortality was really high. And so maybe in their minds, they just thought it was a great idea to baptize this to make sure, you know, this little baby would go to heaven. We're going to cut that out. I mean, in a minute, we're going to explain that. Also, there was something that happened sometimes. I'm not saying it was all the time, but, you know, sometimes babies were being stolen by the pagans, and they would offer these babies as a sacrifice to their false deities. So they would sometimes baptize the babies to protect them so that they was concerned their little soul would go to the heaven, you know, in the sense, you know, because they were worried, you know, not only about, you know, the original sin of Adam, but, you know, just the fact of just how man is born with this sin nature. And so those all things, you know, kind of come into play a little bit, but the Bible doesn't really teach infant baptism. Like I said, the church defies it. And to be honest, the church that thought it up, it was kind of a fundraiser for them. You know what I'm saying? You had to pay a little bit of money to get your kid baptized. And it was a way that the, you know, the church, you know, would do those things. Now, we do baby dedication, and it's a lot less expensive. Yeah. No, it's free. You know, when we dedicate a baby. So there's no charge for that. Now, personally, I was water baptized as a kid. As a baby. And I'm not sure, I forgot to ask if I was sprinkled or dipped or what they did to me. But there was a time in my life, I think my parents really thought it was an exorcism, you know, to try to take some of that wild out of me. You know, and I don't know if it did or not, but I've always said, you know, they could have gave me a bath at home. And I don't mean no disrespect to it. But the Bible says, believe and be baptized. I didn't believe then. How could I believe I was a baby? Babies don't have a lot of understanding. Now, we do believe that, you know, there's some scripture in Romans, and we're not going to go into that today, about when a baby, you know, if a child dies before the age of accountability, how all that factors in because they haven't really chosen the sin yet. You know, I personally believe that, you know, babies or young children who die before the age of accountability, I believe they go to heaven. I mean, you know, God's a judge. I think he's legit. Amen. He's a good God. And there is a little bit of scripture, you know, to back that up. Now, what about water baptism? Do we have to be water baptized to be saved? There is some people that believe that. They believe you have to be water baptized to be saved. If they're not, they're very nervous about it. As a matter of fact, I know somebody that they were upset that their parents never got them baptized as a child. Because they grew up and some of their friends had been baptized and they felt, you know, like they'd been slighted. But the fact of the matter is, the scripture doesn't talk about that. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 to 17. It says, and this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now, I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize also the whole household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross would not be made void." Now, Paul was one of the major architects of the early church. That man went and preached the gospel into all the world. He started more churches than probably anybody. But here he says that God did not send him to baptize. So how do we mesh all this together? What does it mean? Baptized or don't we be baptized? See, people were misunderstanding what baptism is all about here. They were taking pride in the fact that I was baptized by Apollos, or I was baptized by this person. And sometimes it's kind of like they identify with their church more than they identify with God. And that's a problem. You know, we need to make sure that we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's really what it's about. The reason why we don't believe that it's necessary to be baptized to be saved, because if you did, that would be somewhat of a work of the flesh, and it would take away what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Now, we're saved by grace through faith. Now, there's a movement in America today where we're saved by grace, and they stop right there. They don't say through faith. And they're missing out on the part, the component of where man needs to believe. There is a part of our responsibility we have to do. We do have to believe and we have to receive it and accept it. But, you know that's a different story for later. Now, I believe if baptism was necessary to be saved, that most churches would spend more time getting people dunked than they would preaching the gospel. And I preached the gospel in a lot of different countries when I was younger. And I've been in countries like Greece and various ones. And in the country of Greece, they have a state church. That if you're born and you automatically become Greek Orthodox and you're baptized into that church. It's a very, very big stronghold there. Where that's just something, you know, that's important to them. And I feel that, you know, as I said, baptism shouldn't be automatic. It shouldn't be just a rite of progression as we go through our life, but it's something that, you know, we need to hold dear, because there's so much to it that we can understand that'll help us in our walk with God to be able to overcome the attacks of the enemy. Now, I'm giving a full disclaimer. You do not have to be water baptized to make it to heaven, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not the judge. Just to be up front with you, amen. I'm not the judge. I don't choose. God chooses, not me. You know, so that's why I encourage you to take this seriously and read the scriptures. And I'll be honest with you, I'm going to try to encourage you to be water baptized here in a minute, because I believe it is, and that's, it's good. I wouldn't, you know, talk about it if it wasn't. Matthew 28, verse 19, you know, why be baptized? Well, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's one of Jesus' last statements that he made when he was talking to his followers. He was giving them their marching orders. He could have stopped and says, go preach about me, tell them about, you know, me and get them saved, bless God. No. He said, make sure, baptize them too. Make them disciples. So there must be something to it. And me, with my lightning quick intellect, I believe that if something's in the Bible and God tells us to do it, hey, must be something to it. Why not? Why not follow in obedience? Jesus Christ was baptized himself. Here, the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose to allow this underling, John, baptize him. Good enough for Jesus, good enough for me. Now, when Jesus was baptized, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon him. So it's kind of interesting that Peter, in the first scripture that we talked about the presence of the Holy Spirit being in this whole situation. So we want to keep that in the back of our mind a little bit. Now, as Jesus gave the church a commandment to follow, to make disciples and baptize them, I want to ask a couple questions. What does it mean if you and I willfully choose not to follow one of Jesus' orders? Then, what does it mean if we choose to willfully follow one of Jesus' orders? Two different sides of the coin. On one hand, Scripture tells us one thing, and we just choose not to do it for whatever reason. But then on the other hand, if the Scripture tells us something and we choose to do it, you know, to me, there's a blessing on the other side. There's a blessing if we follow in obedience to what he has for our life. So, like I said, you do not have to be water baptized to be saved. But I really believe it's an issue of, you know, this is my deep conviction. One of the weakest and watered down things that the American church has going on in their life is the fact that they don't fear God. And preachers, bless our little hearts, we make God out to be our little buddy. Oh, we're just God's friend. Yeah, Scripture talks about, but that word friend is a covenant term. It has nothing to do with being a buddy and going out to have lunch. It's a covenant term. Well, that you enter into covenant, and we've talked about that in the past. Now, I'm not afraid of God, where I'm afraid to go to him when I say I fear God. But to me, fear comes back down to two components. We honor and we reverence him. I honor him for who he is and I reverence him. You know, I would not willfully want, I make enough mistakes the way it is in my own life. I would never set out to try to make a mistake. You know, I have enough problems to purposely go do so. So to me, it's an obedience issue. And, you know, like I say, I'm not saying you're a rebel if you don't want to be water baptized. Maybe you have some fears or something. Maybe you're worried what you look like in a bikini. Nobody wears bikinis at our baptisms, amen. You know, we keep everything covered, you know. And you wear a shirt and, you know, we just try to keep it all under wraps, amen. But I think of Jenny Myers. She's passed away now. She was in her 90s. And she wanted to be baptized. Now, a lot of people in their 90s would sought out the sprinkling route, but not Jenny. Jenny was in her wheelchair, and we had some connections at the Albee Pool back then. We wheeled her down in the water, starting at the real shallow, wheeled her out to where it was deep enough, and she stood up out of that wheelchair, and I baptized her. And then she got back in the wheelchair, and we wheeled her out. She wanted to follow the Lord in obedience, and she wouldn't take, you know, anything else. She wanted to be immersed. You know, that was a special time. You know, I mean, I admire you know, that situation, because, you know, that's a public expression of our faith. You know, when you're water baptized, you're telling the whole world that I'm a follower of Christ. Now, many of you, because we're on the edge of town, you could sneak out here and go to church and sneak back. Nobody'd know. You know, I do have a couple friends that drive by and check the cars every now and then. That's just what he does. You know, he don't go to church himself, but he likes to check who's here. It's just his hobby, I guess. I don't get it. You know, I tell him, come on in, but he won't. But, you know, my wife and I, we had the benefit when we first, right after we got married, you know, we went to Greece and we lived for 6 months. And we did some mission work. And you've heard me tell the story about Teo and Rula, some of you have. We went out to the island of Kos, a small island, and we preached the gospel. And this couple, and they wanted to follow Christ. And as I mentioned, you know, being Greek Orthodox raised, that when you chose to become Protestant there, you were actually turning your back on the church, and that meant their family might, you know, disown them a little bit and things like this. So it was a big step. But I remember, you know, Teo and Rula, you know, and a lot of people were shocked. When they decided to do it, they decided to follow Christ in baptism. So we all moseyed out to the beach, and, you know, it was quite a baptism because the waves were so high, we didn't really have to dunk them. It was self-dunking. It's like an automatic thing. You know, we just wait till a wave come by. Here it is in the name of Jesus. You know, bam, they got baptized, you know. God did it all. But, You know, I think of those times when, and we've had some, you know, good baptisms here in the church where we went out to somebody's house before, and then we went to the pool before. And, you know, I'm thankful Mark and Lisa opened up their house. We're going to do one out there in the next week or so for those who haven't been baptized yet. You know, we have a sign-up sheet here, and we'd like you to participate in that. So what are some of the benefits? Because in our culture, we need to get back to, because there's a no commitment, you know, thing in our culture that's holding us back, and, you know, we need to get in and decide that we're going to follow Christ. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Huh? Why did it say that? We're going to explain that. It says, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, where do you get attacked at the most? Besides by your spouse. No, just kidding. In your mind. Is your conscience in your mind? We think it is. We don't know where it's at, but I'm sure it is in there somewhere. So that's where the enemy attacks you. He tries to get you to believe the lie or the half-truths. You're not really saved. You got mad the other day. How can you be a Christian? Did you hear that word you said? You're not a Christian. So the enemy keeps coming in, and he tries to attack our mind to get us to believe the lie. Because water baptism is going to do is one of the benefits is that it helps our conscience. It helps us to be able to understand the fact of what really happened in our life and the decision that we made, because that's where the enemy attacks us. So to me, it kind of closes that back door. Now, some people lock their houses, some don't. You know, let's say you don't lock your door. You may have never had a problem in 20 years, but the potential is always there, right? So the enemy, he doesn't attack us all the time, but every now and then, he tries to find a way to weasel into our life to try to get us to be off our game. Because if the enemy, you know, can get us so that we're not a strong Christian and out doing the things that God wants us to do, if we're so worried about our self-image in Christ that we don't measure up with everybody else, because we compare ourselves to somebody else who, from our vantage point, they have it all together. But if you followed them home, they would tell you something different, that they don't have it all together. None of us do. But we need Jesus working in our life every day, helping us in the process as we allow this sanctification process to take place. So, you know, so it helps us to free ourselves from that old life. You know, many of you may remember the old life. Maybe you struggle with it still. You know, I know that fact when I got revelation knowledge on it, it really helped me. And I really believe that water baptism played a large part helping me to maybe sever some of those ties of when I was, you know, from the old life, because, you know, the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 7, it says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" There's a picture. You've been baptized into his death. "Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." There we come up out of the water. It's a picture of the resurrection life inside of us. "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." Again, outward sign of an inward work. Dying to sin. You know, water baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died for our sins. He went in the grave. He came out of the grave. When we are baptized, when we go under the water for that 5 minutes, however long that takes, no, not quite that long. When we go down under water, it's a picture in our mind and in our conscience that I died with him. And I'm dead with him. I've died to sin. And then when we come up out of the water, it's a picture that I am coming up to the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, that life that's living inside me. It's there already, but water baptism, I believe, you know, many times when Jesus preached, he spoke in parables, he spoke in pictures. So water baptism is a beautiful picture of what really happened at that time when we gave our life to Christ and were baptized into that body. And I believe that we need to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to start working greater in our life when we're water baptized. Because we're doing this in obedience. And I know a lot of people, they believe God to do, you know, maybe special things in our life. It helps us to make a deeper commitment to God. And it breaks, like I mentioned, Satan's power in our life. You know, as I mentioned, it's a connect point and a release point. It's a place where we can connect to God in a deeper way. I still remember, I can picture my water baptism right now. As I'm standing here, I remember it. And it was a release point. I was believing God to do some things in my life. And I released my faith. And as we release our faith, when we come out of that water, you know, just believe that you're never going to be the same. Oh, yes, attacks are going to come. It's not going to be a thing where all of a sudden you're off limits to the devil in a sense where he'll never bother you again. But when he does bother you, you're going to know that you know that he can never lie to you again about your salvation. That you know that you have given your life to Christ and you followed him in baptism. And you believe that old life, that old man, is left in the water when you go down. Because like I said, we have to die to sin. Sin doesn't die to us. When I got saved, they were still making Budweiser, man. They still make it today. But it has no power over me. I died to it. I died to it. I chose to die to the life of Christ, because that was a stumbling block in my life. And I chose to put it down and kill it because it held me back. You may not have a problem with that, but I did. I considered that a stumbling block for me. Yours may be something else, something that's holding you back. Because I don't like being held back. I like to be free. And like I say, you know, maybe that doesn't bother you. You can have a beer and go on. That's between you and God. But when I did it to party. That was how I rolled. And I couldn't do it, so I had to be set free from that power it had in my life. You know, it tells the testimony to the world. When we do water baptism, we give you an opportunity. Don't have to, but we give you, would you like to say something? You know, and I encourage you to say at least one thing. You know, just thank Jesus for saving me. You know, because it's going to mean something. You're testifying to the world. Like I said, you don't have to, but it's an opportunity to share. And some give a bigger testimony and just share what God delivered them from. You know, it's just a, you know, it's a way that we can do these things. So to me, after looking at this, and I left out a lot of scriptures. When I used to do a baptismal teaching, it was more like we just went through scripture after scripture after scripture. But for today's setting, I just picked and chose a few. Now, so to me, it's not an issue of if I should be water baptized by immersion, but to me, it's when can I be water baptized by immersion. And I believe it's going to help. You know, it'll be a point of release in your life to be able to be set free. Now, what happens when we water baptize is that, of course, we get into water that's, you know, where it's dunkable. It's got to be a dunkable death, or death, a depth. Little play on words there. And, you know, how my baptismal formula, now some get all burned out. They say, oh, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You can be baptized. The formula that I use, I say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I cover all the bases. So if anybody ever comes up and says, who were you baptized into? We did it all, baby. You're covered, just in case. And it's an opportunity. So we're going to close in prayer.